Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
The world is trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it better. Do you really think we can?
Well, good evening, everyone. This is your host, John Fisher of The Catch, found at catchjohnfisher.com. And that's where you can sign up to get The Catch every day, 5 days a week, free in your email box. Those of you who still do that kind of thing, we'd love to have you sign up and join us. Catch Radio is a chance to meet live with some people who I meet and get to know. Other times it's people who have been recommended to me. But this time tonight is very special because this is our first on-location Blog Talk Radio show, because I am in I'm not in sunny California. I am in cloudy, drizzly Rochester, New York, right now, where it's about 46 degrees, and I am at Roberts Wesleyan College, and I've been here for 3 days, and going to be doing chapel. I did a chapel on Monday morning, spoke at chapel, and then we'll speak again tomorrow. And we thought it would be great to since I'm here anyway, do the Blog Talk Radio from here, and have as our guest a chaplain at Roberts Wesleyan College, Jonathan Bratt. So, Jonathan, welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate it.
It's great to have you, and it's been great to be with you again. Gosh, I think we've been I've been here, what do you think, 4 or 5 times maybe?
I think you've been here probably 3 times since I've been here in the 8 years that I've been at Roberts, but I think I think you mentioned that, you know, over the last 20 years, you might have been at Roberts 4 or 5 times. So,
yeah, that's true. Definitely, yeah, definitely before going way back. But I appreciate, since you've been here, and I appreciate you brought me in 3 times and having the opportunity to share with students and walk around and get to know them. It's been fantastic. So you've been chaplain for 8 years, is that right?
That's correct, 8 years here at Roberts.
Yeah. And have you was this your first experience, college, university experience, or have you had any before this?
I was in the pastoral ministry for 21 years, but when I was in Dearborn, Michigan, I actually taught at Spring Harbor University out in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
for their degree completion program, so I'm more of adult students in that setting.
Okay. Well, how is it? How do you like hanging out with students versus a congregation? What's the difference there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think obviously one difference is there's more of an age specialization there. We have students of all ages, but most of them are, the bulk of them would be in that, at least undergraduate students would be in that 18 mm-hmm. to 24 age group. So it's a select age group as opposed to, you know, what you'd have in a congregation as a pastor with the whole gamut. So that's the most obvious difference.
Yeah. Do you like the kids? You must like the kids, or else you wouldn't have been here for 8 years.
Yeah, I think you know, for me, I find that they're at a certain place in life. They're questioning, they're open in a different way than the average congregation. They're asking questions. You know, some don't care about things, some do care about things, and you see a big change in students even between their freshman year and their senior year. So it's a cool time of change.
Yeah, I'll say that must be really important. I know that's what I love, just being on campus, the opportunities I've had to be on any kind of Christian college campus is the kids are, their minds are not quite made up yet, and they're willing to think through stuff and maybe unthink some stuff. You know, I remember reading once that one of the jobs of a Christian college is to actually help students who have, especially who have come through the church, to actually, they had a name for it, and I'm not sure I even remember it now, but it's a kind of to deconstruct, maybe, that is that the word, deconstruct their faith and put it back together again? You think any of that goes on?
I think that's language that's used sometimes. Sometimes it's used quite disparagingly. Sometimes people will talk about young people going to college and having their whole worldview deconstructed, and sometimes it's not back together again for people. But I think that's one of the goals of the Christian college anyway, is not to just tear apart a world, but to make them think through it in different ways than perhaps they have before, and to see how that relates to other worldviews. And to come out with a greater understanding of why they believe what they believe and what it is that they believe, and how does that fit with, you know, their relationship with other people who believe different things in the world.
Right. What percentage of students come to Roberts Wesleyan from Christian homes, would you say, and some of them even from Christian schools prior to this? Do you know that about that? Do they have percentages on that kind of thing?
I'm sure admissions has data on that kind of thing. I know that when we do surveys, just in general, I would say that you'd have about 65% of our students that would say, you know, they would answer any questions on a survey, like, do you do Bible studies or prayer, or do you go to church every Sunday, those kind of things. That would be like a 65% kind of answer. And then others might consider themselves Christian, but they might use that term more in a way that I'm an American than I'm a Christian, or, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know exactly which ones come from evangelical homes or certain traditions or whatever.
Yeah.
But I know, like, at Roberts, we have some 50 denominations represented. So even what that might mean to students to be a Christian might mean something different to different ones, depending on where they've come from.
Right. Well, I think, you know, when I think of a Christian college, or to me, it's just it's an environment where you have a lot of Christians in one place. And it would seem to me that obviously there's some good things about that. And I'm not even sure we need to discuss those, because they're going to be obvious in terms of faith building and encouraging and coming alongside people who are trying to put things together in their faith. Maybe they're not, you know, some of them might even be new Christians, or they might have, you know, grown up in a Christian home, but they're struggling through it all right now. Though all those would be, I think, very positive experiences. But what are some of the negatives that you know of in having, you know, so many Christians in one place?
Well, that's interesting. Well, I think if you ask students that question, sometimes I'll often go to like a Bible study or a small group kind of thing that students have, and I often hear from students that they'll say that sometimes when you live in a place where it's assumed that everybody is a Christian, then you get lazy. about that. It's just assumed that everybody is, and so you can come to chapel, and so maybe you don't have to do your devotions, or you have New Testament class today, and so, you know, oh, maybe I don't need to go to church because I'm getting enough, you know, during my week or whatever. And so, you know, I'll hear some students talk about that phenomenon, that sometimes when you're gathered and you feel like you're in a school in an atmosphere where there's so much going on and so many other Christian people, that there's support for that, that it sometimes can lead them away from an individual devotional life, or at least to make them think they don't need that because they're around others that do that. Or it can lead them to think, oh, I don't need to be part of a church fellowship at this point in my life because my school really is that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of that that goes on. You know, I've often said that if someone, you know, we constantly hear, I remember, you know, at Wheaton, we heard about people coming to Wheaton College and losing their faith. Quote, those are the way they talk about it. And I'm sure that happens at every Christian college. I have a tendency to think if someone comes to a Christian college and, quote, loses their faith, that I would be inclined to think that they probably are just finding out the truth about themselves, and that they may have not really had a faith at all to lose. And what do you think about that? That kind of,
well, yeah. Well, you know, I think there's probably some different phenomena that happen. What you describe is one of those, that, you know, maybe some people come from a place where they've always seen themselves and called themselves Christian, and they come and they compare themselves to others. And they say, wow, I'm not that. And so they determine that maybe that's not what, or in their studies, maybe they use some other kinds of things, read some other things, you know, challenge their thinking a little bit and go, wow, I don't know that I believe those things that I always thought I believed. So I think that's one phenomenon. I think the other struggle with all this, I mean, sometimes we get, you know, you'd expect at a college, you know, we're supposed to be able to prove that we do what we say we do in people's life. And at Roberts, we say, you know, hey, we have scholarship and we train our students to have a service mindset and we do spiritual formation. I think one of the challenges of spiritual formation at a college is, I mean, these are only 4 or 5 years of a student's life. And they tend to be years that are very fruitful in terms of their thinking and their thought life. And a lot of change happens between 18 and 25 in life. And I'm not sure that all that gets resolved. And so it's hard sometimes. Sometimes I think that a student might leave a place when they're 22 and say, well, I lost my faith, meaning that I'm not sure I'm where I was when I came here. But we may not see the whole story until they're 28 or 32. You know, because they may still be processing things, and they may not, I mean, you can't force everybody to like learn and be spiritually formed in 4 years. It just doesn't quite work that way.
From a leadership, from a Christian leadership point of view and a faculty point of view, is there a conscious, attempt to almost play, you know, devil's advocate in a way, to make people stretch, make people have to work through their faith rather than to just, feed what they already know. Is there an attempt to push people beyond their comfort zones and stretch them because they're going to have to be out in the world to do that anyway?
I think as you might expect, we have a lot of different professors, and just like parents have all different kinds of methodologies for raising their kids, I think teachers have kind of different teaching styles. Some of them would be more of the devil advocate kind of person who's always you know, challenging and always. Some of them are more loving mothers who just lead and guide, you know, through learning new things and that kind of thing. So I think there's various ways that goes about, but I think your point that there's an intentional effort to help grow people and help challenge people's thoughts and at least have them think through, you know, why they believe what they believe. And I don't think you have people here that are just trying to tear things apart on people and go, ah, you never thought through that, you know, and so, you know, that's bad or that, you know. So I think there's a graciousness in most of our faculty. Mm-hmm. They're here and they want students to grow in their faith. And so they're going to help them. And, you know, I think as they have their teaching style and as they work with students who have different learning styles, they may have different methods of challenging different people at different times. But I do think there's a value in the Christian college environment where we say we value questions, not just answers. A lot of students are usually coming in with, you know, what's the answer to that question? Well, it's Jesus, or, you know, it's the Bible, you know, or whatever, you know, the very simplistic answers to questions. And and so I think there's a challenge to say, hey, let's think about that. And it's okay if we don't have all the answers. And sometimes we learn and grow through engaging the questions.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's great. You've been at Roberts now for 8 years. Can you see any changes over those years in students from when you first came to where they are now? Just types of students. What's going on in the world? You know, in terms of how are students different now than they were 8 years ago?
Yeah, I think it is amazing to see. I mean, I talk with resident directors who are people who are resident directors, you know, are the ones who live in the dorms. They tend to be young people. Mm-hmm. They live in the dorms and they're kind of like the dorm mentors or whatever. But most of them are, you know, just a little bit, they graduated 3 or 4 years ago. And so I hear from them that they see a difference in students coming in at 18 and 19 than they see in themselves who are like 25 or 26, you know?
Yeah.
And so I know there's been a change in that. I mean, some of the things that I see, you know, there's much more reliance on, you know, technology, the phone. It's more in people's hands 24 hours a day than it was 8 years ago, even when I came. And more of them have had the phone in their hand for longer. You know, maybe when I came 8 years ago, students got a phone when they were 16. But now that they're coming in, they've had a phone since they were 9 or 10.
Wow.
And so that, you know, changes their thing. And in that, I mean, there's just no way to keep up with the social media. I think I talked to you while you were here a little bit about when I first came. You know, I signed up for Facebook just because I wanted to communicate with students on Facebook. Well, I got all these friends and everything. Well, now I find that students in today's world don't really hang out on Facebook. I mean, some do. There's always, you know, the early adopters and the later ones, and some operate in different things. But basically, if I write on Facebook now, I'm talking to kids from 8 years ago or 6 years ago. whereas if you want to be talking to kids today, you need to be on Snapchat and Instagram and, you know, other things. So that whole technology thing just keeps moving and grooving, I don't even think you can keep up with it because, you know, every generation is going to have its own apps and likes about apps and stuff.
What about the spiritual condition of students? Has that changed over the years? How would you characterize the students now at Roberts from a spiritual standpoint?
I just think probably most of the changes that I would see are things that are typically referred to in the whole postmodern kind of thing. I think students are more open to not one way of seeing things, but multiple ways of seeing things and much more individualistic. Students coming in today have a very individualistic sense of what God does for them and their personal relationship with God. It's not as communal as it used to be, and even where there is communal stuff, there's kind of this appreciation for the fact that, well, God speaks to all of us differently, and whatever God's doing in your life is okay, and whatever you hear from God is okay, and whatever I hear from God is okay. I don't hear the stuff, you know, when I was in college, there was a lot of this apologetic kind of thing of defending the faith. I think that scene is a little more rigid and, you know, proving your way against somebody else's way isn't necessarily. So I think they're much more open in some sense. At the same time, I'm not sure they're as literate in the Bible as generations gone by. They know basic flow of the, you know, they know the Jesus story, if you will, that Jesus came. They know basic things out of the Old Testament, but not tons. And so you may have students who heard of Noah, but their understanding of Noah is just as much formed by the movie they saw as ever having read the story themselves.
Wow. Wow. So they're much more biblically illiterate. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And, you know, it's because they don't read in general as much as generations before them. It's much more visual. So their understanding of the Bible comes from seeing visual representations of it, not as much reading. Again, these are generalizations. I mean, there's always students who love the Bible and read it every day and all that kind of stuff. But I think in general, I find it quite often when I teach like an Old Testament class that students may have heard of a verse, but they have no way of, they don't know how that verse relates to the context of anything around it. And, you know, it's always been a problem that we can take verses out of context and everything, but I at least think that there used to be a worldview in which the way the Bible was read, it was read in such a way that you knew the story. But I'm not always sure that people know where, how things fit into the story.
Wow. Well, my gosh, I mean, what are we going to do about that? is there anything we can do about that? Are there classes that they have to go to that are going to help them become more familiar with the Bible?
Well, certainly.
While they're here?
Yeah, I mean, depending on their major and stuff, they'll get different classes. But everyone, we have, you know, general education classes that would include an Old and New Testament class. That kind of helps them with a biblical worldview and getting that. You know, I just think in our world today, there are people who are doing different kinds of ministry. You know, I think that there's even, you know, apps like YouBible that's out there, or YouVersion, that people are using that are trying to put these Bibles in people's hands, and there's reading plans and you know, they read to you or, you know, whatever. So, I mean, I think there are people that are saying there's got to be ways to do this. I've seen some other people doing some great things. There's a group called Network of Biblical Storytellers that make it their point to, they wouldn't call it memorizing scripture. They'd call it, I forget the word they use. It's more of this word that we talk about, like learning it in the sense that it becomes part of you. And, you know, and they tell the scriptures. And so, you know, they're trying to deal with the fact that we're in a world where people may not read as much and they need it dramatized, they need it visual, they need it in other forms. So, you know, I think as we are in the world we're in, there are people, like they always said that, you know, Wycliffe tried to translate Bibles into all these versions that people could read it in their own language. I think now there's people trying to say, how do we put this word into language that people in our day understand?
Is part of the problem the whole postmodern thing, John, that, you know, their mindset is not that the truth is an absolute somewhere, Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the issue. Yeah, I mean, so there's openness and there's much more of an approach. Even when you come to the Bible, there's an approach that I hear. God speaks to me through it, and whatever I hear is what it means. There's not so much an understanding that it has to be interpreted before it can be applied. Oftentimes, there's a one-for-one translation. Oh, I read this, and this is what it meant, and so that's what it means. And maybe you can read it differently, and that's okay. That's how God speaks to you. So, I don't think there'd be as many students fighting about doctrinal things as there was, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
What do you think about that? Is that okay?
Well, there's always pros and cons with all that, right? I mean, there's value in not looking at all the things that make us different and look at the things that we are united in Christ. But sometimes when we're looking at only the things that unite us, we're boiling it down to, a very simple, a simple story, which again, there's advantages in, but I don't know that we come up with a gospel that's very simplified and not nuanced at all. And I'm never sure whether it's that it's not nuanced or whether we just don't know how we're living. I mean, I think we all live out a worldview, and there's probably different ways people are doing that, but I'm not sure we're always aware of what we're living out. So it may be just we're not reflecting on our doctrine as much as we're living
Well... Wow. I asked Chandler, I think most of our listeners who follow us on The Catch know that Chandler is with me this weekend because I've been writing about it and in our Catch. And I asked Chandler what he had observed so far about the people and the students he met. And I thought it was very interesting what he said for a 16-year-old. He said that that there's a lot of, well, one of the things I remember, he says there's a lot of Christians who aren't paying attention, he said. I thought that was very interesting observation. Yeah, how there, it just should become familiar that there are so many different ways the people treat God and themselves, and some aren't paying attention. Those are his two most important things.
That's an interesting observation.
What do you take? Do you take anything from that?
I think it's true, this issue of, I mean, if you read anything about millennials or Generation Y or any of those kind of groups and all that kind of stuff, I mean, there is this issue of delayed adolescence, that people are taking longer to grow up and all that, and that's part of the economic system of our world and all that kind of stuff. So I think sometimes there are these signs that some of the students we get are viewing college is the new high school. And so, and as you ask them about, what they're doing in their life, they're not thinking about defining what they're doing until they go to get a master's degree. They see master's degree as the education that prepares them for what they're going to do. And so I think there are some of them that are viewing, these are ones who may not be paying attention to everything, right? Because they're having fun, they're enjoying life, they're, their focus is on other things than their education or the thing at hand. That's a typical thing that you read about and all that. So I think that may be what he's picking up on there. Colleges are notorious too for the whole thing. I mean, depending what major you're in, you're into different things, and it's easy to get siloed in different places. And you might be different in the classes where you're with all the people in your major than you are when you're hanging with everybody, kind of thing. So, But yeah, some interesting observations that he's making there.
We talked earlier about you, as well as being chaplain, you also teach, I believe, an Old Testament course, and I'd love to have you share with our listeners. Our time is just about up, but I want to be sure and have you talk about what the Grinch has to do with understanding the Old Testament. I thought that was a great thing that you do. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, oftentimes I will start the first day of class by showing the old cartoon version of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. It's only about a 23 minute kind of video, so I'll show them that and just try to raise interest. Of course, they don't expect that in an Old Testament class, but then I'll ask them what it's about, and of course they'll tell me what they think it's about because they've seen it all their life as children and all that kind of stuff, and they'll tell me what they think. Oh, it's about Christmas and this guy, you know, who's mean, and he figures out that, you know, Christmas isn't all about toys and blah 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 blah. And then I'll challenge them and say, well, that's a real possibility. Good answer, you know. Is it possible that it's also about racism? And they'll look at me like, are you some kind of weirdo? And I'll say, well, the Grinch is green and everybody else isn't. So, you know, maybe it's all about, you know, how they treat them bad and this kind of thing. And they'll go, wow, I never thought of that. Because their postmodern view, they're like, oh, yeah, maybe that's one possible reading, right? And I'll say, or maybe it's about, you know, good health food and dental hygiene. And they're like, what? Well, yeah, the Grinch, you know, he comes and takes all the candy away from the kids. So he's really concerned for good health and these kinds of things. And and what I'm doing with all that right up front is trying to say, if you take any little 30-second clip out of the movie, right, and out of the story, you can tell the whole story differently by taking that 30 seconds out of context. And then I'll try to help them understand that's what we do with the Bible all the time. We take these little clips that we call verses out of context, and we lose the whole meaning of the story when all we're looking at is, you know, the 15-second clip. And so, you know, I try to help them capture the big picture story of what the Old Testament's all about. You know, what is God doing, and how does humanity fit in, and you know, what is God up to in his world, and how does that relate to us today?
Wow. Wow. I love that. Just as we close here, one last thought. Sometimes I wish we could get the same kind of thinking going on with adults that we get in a Christian college. And because I think we have a tendency to think that once we become adults, this process of questioning and growing and being pushed beyond our limits is over. We've already answered all the questions. So we at least, you know, got everything arranged the way we want it to be arranged. I'm just thinking about most of our listeners who are listening here. How can their life be more like a learner, like a student, more like a college student, even though they're no longer in college? How can we keep that thing fresh in terms of growing and pushing into new frontiers? You got any ideas along that line you can share with us?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess in essence, I think it's a spirit of keeping the question ever before us. I mean, we can make affirmations about what we believe, but be open to growing beyond what we've always believed, right? I mean, we can, and I think, you know, there's always question. You know, when I was a kid, I mean, one of the first things you learn is the questions, right? Who, what, where, why, how, you know, those kinds of things, you know, and so, I mean, to even have a discipline where I wake up every morning where I'm asking questions about things, you know, instead of walking out and you know, hearing 10 different birds sing and go, oh, those are birds singing, which is a statement of fact, right? Those are birds singing. I can walk out and ask, I wonder what kind of birds those are, you know? Mm. And that, and just the question leads me to maybe figure out, oh, maybe I discover what those 10 birds are. right? And so, I mean, if we have this questioning approach to all of life, to discover what the 10 birds are doesn't take away from my theology, right? And I think the same thing is true.
Right.
If we bring questions to the scripture, questions to how we're living out our Christian life in church and outside of church, if we bring these simple questions to that, a simple question can carry us somewhere we've never been before.
Wow. Wow. I love that. That's really great. Thank you so much, John, for being with us. And I appreciate getting a little more familiar with what's happening with college students, but I love that last part. We've got to keep questioning ourselves and keep growing.
Indeed. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Well,
thank you
so
great much
to have
for
you
being
on
with
campus,
us,
John. Thanks.
Yeah, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you,
John.
God
bless.
God bless.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. Well, there you go. You have it, folks. Don't stop questioning. Don't stop growing. Don't stop learning. Yeah. Until next week, Blog Talk Radio. Good night. Take care.